Meir, a former Talmud, Baruch Hashem. One of the greatest things for Chizuk, if you want to be a Magid Shir and Marbet Torah, we have Choshev Talmidim. Baruch Hashem, we have Choshev Talmidim. Baruch Hashem. We have a very interesting subject tonight. Not the easiest subject to do research on either. Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon. I don't know who he asked for it, but I said yes without thinking. And afterwards, I realized, like, wow, where am I going to start from over here? Once upon a time, I knew a little bit about these things. But to find information, you have to do a little bit of research. We're going to touch on the basic ideas of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon, even though we're not going to go into all the details. If it's interesting to the Olam, then we can do it next week, even though I already had an interesting bakasha for next week. Somebody wants me to talk about the subject of getting drunk on Purim and other times of the year. What's the right way of being the kind of mitzvah of Machai Vinshlev Sume? I think it's an interesting topic. The fact that this week there was a whole letter from all the Gdolim Nebrak against getting shikar on Purim and getting drunk during the year. So maybe we'll talk on that subject. But right now we're talking about Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon. And the first thing you have to understand is, how does a chayrim work? Chayrim, the more commonly known musug of chayrim is that in case a person is not going to be mekayim the psak of bezin, so bezin puts him in chayrim. Ledugma. Let's say you have, it's not used too often today, it's not that often, but let's say you have a person that left his wife an aguna and he doesn't want to give her a get. And she's never suffering terribly, her and the kids, whatever, he's not listening to bezin. So bezin can make a chayrim. Now chayrim involves that you can't talk to the guy, you can't go in his dal amas, you can't be mitzar from Dominion, you can't do business with him. These are all brought down in your day simishin lamadal. It's not fun. It's very, very not geschmack. And chayrim is also like a shvua. Nidui v'shamta, the person's like in the shvua. The Kava Yosher brings down from Kabbalah's form that Eliyahu HaNovi usually does not mefarsim the veirs that a person does. When a person is over a chayrim, which means he's going against the law of the bezin. Bezin is being mechayiv not to do something. He's ignoring it. Eliyahu is mefarsim b'chola oilam that this and this person is being over on the chayrim. And all of his tefillos are not meskabel. Because he's also in chayrim by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chayrim is brought down in the Kabbalah from his Oisius Ramach, that if a person is in chayrim, all of his 248 evorim are all in sakona. So bezin will sometimes do it. Example, when a person left his wife in Aguna. So if they put him in Chayrim, and he knows that people are running away from him, like he's a Metzayr or something like that, he's running away from him, so it might have effect. Another case is a person doesn't pay Chayvis, and he runs away. There's very severe cases. The Bezdans, the Bati Din today, are scared. They're allowed to make a Chayrim. It's not like a Knas you can't make. But they're very nervous also about the Goyish courts. Because the Goyish courts, and Baroisham, the Israeli courts, which are based on the British mandate laws, they're not too Jewish, they can make trouble to a bezin if you put a person in chayrim. Because basically, they don't recognize the right for a Jewish bezin, a law that works on dinim, that's not going according to the rules of the State of Israel. What right did you tell people not to talk to him? You're embarrassing the guy, causing damage, business damage. So you can get into trouble sometimes with the courts. So the bezin today will not use chayrim too often, but every now and then you hear. A few years ago in Arzi Abira, I remember a certain guy was put into chayrim. I don't want to say what the reason was, but it was very interesting. Because people know the law. Because you look in Shin Lamadal in your day, you can't talk to him, you can't have a minion. It's not too fun. It's not too much. It's usually very effective. Al Kaponim, that's the known usage of Chayrim. There's another type of Chayrim. The Musig of Chayrim can be used by Bezin, by Melech, and it can also be used for Chachomim, L'Takonas, L'Te'elas HaTzibur. Okay? So we find, during the course of the generations, that certain people, especially in the times of Rishayim, they made certain chermei tzibur. Chermei tzibur means to say they made certain takonas for the te'elos of the tzibur, and they said whoever is not going to keep this takona, he's in chayrim. Now, there's an interesting machlokes in the Rishayim, how does it work? Agav, in the good old days when they made a chayrim, it's brought down the Rishayim, they held the sefer Torah in their hands, and they blew shofar, so it was a really very, very fearsome celebration. Today, they don't do all these different things, but like I said, it's very rare that we see chayrims around. There's an interesting machlokes in the Rishayim. How does it work when somebody like Rabbeinu Gershon makes a chayrim? First, before we get to Rabbeinu Gershon, in general, by chermei tzibur, there's a machlokes Rishayim as to whether they have to be machriz, this person was over, he's a chayrim, or no. If there is a certain chayrim existing, we're going to bring certain examples in a minute. So the fact that you did it, you're automatically a chayrim. The Maisid is a Ramah in Yerdei Shin Lamadal. Sif Chaf, the Rama says that Bizmanenu Chav Gimel, you're only going to be over on the Cherem after the Machris. In other words, you did a no-no if you knew that you were going against the Cherem. But they, in order for them to say that this is Chal on you, they have to be Machris. He's not considered a Mukhram. You don't look at a Cherem that can't go as Dalamas or whatever, unless you heard the Bezna say, this guy is in the Cherem. Which means, I shouldn't have done against this known Cherem if I knew there was Osir. But we don't have the halachas that you can't talk to the guy unless Bezna says Reuven ben Shimon is in Cherem. From that point on, that they're machris, there is a din of Cherem. Now, it's interesting, machlekes, when Rabbeinu Gershom or somebody that makes a Cherem, so Rashi says you can be matter the Cherem. There's a Muslim being matter a neder, matter a Cherem also. Rashi says you can matter a Cherem unless Rabbeinu Gershom or Rabbeinu Tam, whoever wrote it, wrote down this forever. The Yamsha Shlema says no. That when they made a Cherem Tzibur, that means to say Mikan Lahaba, and there's no Musag of being matter altogether. So let's take some of the examples of the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom. Some are known, some of them are completely unknown. I think the two most famous ones are the fact that Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't marry two wives. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Ashkenazim accepted it. The Svarim say it was only till Sheshes Alom, it already doesn't exist. Technically speaking, a Sephardi is allowed to marry two wives. Now, obviously in the Torah, you're allowed to marry two wives, right? Yaakov had four wives, Avraham Avinu, Palach, and whatnot. Rabbeinu Gershom decided that a person should not marry two wives. We'll give soon some of the reasons given. But that's one of the main Yiduah the Kedchem Rabbeinu Gershom's. That a person cannot marry two wives. Another one, which is quite famous, is that you're not allowed to divorce a wife without her consent. You can't do it that she doesn't know about. According to the Gemara, you can find her where she lives over here, throw a little get, or send her with a pigeon, let him drop it off on her porch, that's her chotzer, and she's geget. Today you can't do that. That's Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. What do you do if a woman doesn't want to accept a get? So then, there's another etzah, again, for Rabbeinu Gershom. It's what's called the heter mei rabbonim, that you have to have 100 rabbonim from around the world, and these rabbonim have to know the halachas that pertain to giving a heter merabonim, which is not easy. They can give a heter, but it's got to be from different medinas all around the world. It's very, very complicated. And the, one of the more celebrated cases, I'll say celebrated simcha, about 40 years ago, the Rosh Hashiva of Lake Wittray, Rosh Neir Kotler, was an aiden by a very chosh Rosh Hashiva, Michal Feinstein, a granddaughter of Baron Kotler and grandson of Baron Kotler, and there was a problem. They had to make a get, and she didn't want to take the get. And there were G'dayli Oyer Muval, that's not a secret what I'm saying right now, it's Dvorim Yiduim. I was here B'Shas Maisa, and I was Nafka friend of the Melchiel Kotler from my Lakewood days. And that was unbelievable what went on over here, because every time that, since it was big Choshra families, every time they had like a heter for a certain rov, like in London or whatever, so before you know it, the people on the other side printed a whole country saying that this person wasn't right to sign it, because he doesn't know this halachas, that halachas. They tried everything, but the bottom, the end of the line was, he did get that to Mayor Bonham. There's some other famous cases. But you see this every on and then, and it's hair-raising, the whole concept of someone who doesn't want to take a get, you force them to take a get. But that is another Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. And then I think the one which is maybe the most famous one is the fact that you can't read somebody else's letter. And very often people write down on the outside of the letter, Becherim Rabbeinu Gershom. They'll write down Pei Gimel, Vav Pei Gimel Yud Nun, which doesn't mean penguin, it means upagum. Upayritz geder yishchen anochosh. Okay? And then Bechem Rabbeinu Gershom. When you see that, that means you're not invited. Now in general, you should not be looking at somebody else's letter. Common sense says that. We'll soon see what the different Yisroom are. But he said if you do it, you're over Chem. That's a very famous one. That's a very famous one. There's interesting shahs in the Poiskim. Let's first discuss other ones that are brought down. You can, by the way, see all the list of Chem Rabbeinu Gershom. You probably wouldn't know to start where to look, but I'm telling you from experience, because when I wrote them on my swarm like 30 years ago, I remember you find them all bekitzer. There's a Bera Goyla on the side of Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Shin Lamadalad. He lists all of the Cherems of Rabbeinu Gershom. So again, married to women, a person, if he is over some of these Cheremes, you can't make him a Shlich Tzibur. A person cannot force himself on the Tzibur and decide he is their Chazan. Another one is that a person should not be away from his wife for 18 months. A married person should not travel. Now, in the good old days, they didn't have airplanes. So you go to a business trip on the Far East, you can go away for a long time.
What does it mean somebody else could force himself? What does that mean he can't force himself?
No, I can't decide I want to be the chazan of the shul if the tzibur doesn't want me. can't do these things.
But if you're not okay with a style radio person could?
No, if the Oilem wants me because they think I have a good voice, I'm a nice guy, fine. But I can't go about Korach. I can't force myself in the Sibur. Again?
That means right. What does it mean against
the Well, usually the way it works is either you have people take a vote or you have designed two years, seven people that are appointed. It's done in some democratic fashion. But every now and then you have a guy that wants to be the Gabi, wants to be the Rabbi, wants to be the Chazan, and sometimes all of the above. You have such places. Well, in Shul Yishalayim, a certain guy doesn't want to take a Rav because he considers himself the Rav and the Gabi and the boss, and he also gave the money. I know such a Shul. You have such places. You have such problems today also. But in any event, going away 18 months from your wife, reading your friend's letter, we said, not to be mevayish or to hit a person. If a person hits somebody, he puts you in cheirim. If you hit a person, you're in cheirim, and especially if it was done in a shul. I've seen that happen too. Sometimes a person gets very mad. What do you mean I didn't get a chiv? And he's a chiv, he's a bigger chiv. I dive in every day. He comes once a week and he comes after Krishna. So he gives the guy a smack. Okay? He's in cheirim.
Is it automatic? Like, how's it working?
So again,
automatically, or is
again, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Aleph is a Ramah that says that Bismanenu, a person should know. I mean, it's kedai to look at these chairs to have the idea. You'll know this is a no-no. Right? If he makes a chair, it means he's telling this for Mikan V'Hola in the future generations. Don't do it. It's a terrible thing to do. But the halach is that you have to keep away from him and not talk to him. That's only for the Bezin is Machers Baram. This and this guy is in chair. And that's not going to happen to us. He's doing a no-no. And Klapei Shemayim, it's very talking this tefillah in Amos Kabbal. He's going to get punished for it. He's doing something very chomer, very, very not good. But for us to be part of it, not talking about that, that's only if they're machers, and that does not happen too often.
If someone can use someone else's text or emails, would that be the same thing?
That's tricky. There is a Avdei Nezer, there's some other place, they talk about a postcard. So they want to tie them by a postcard, since he wrote it on the outside, he wasn't mach, but someone should read it. On the other hand, when you have sometimes a letter, let's say I made a certain business deal with somebody, I'm sending you a letter to Rosh Hashiva in America, or Bernstein, I'm sending you a letter. And I tell someone, I don't mind that you read it. Maybe you mind. You always have to know the second side of the story. One person sent it, one person received it. So you have to be careful. Now, an email or something like that, you have to use common sense here. Did the person want it to be publicized? Or you went and you used like the other cyber word today and you pulled it out of his computer? Right? Today you can do anything. You can put it in someone's computer where he doesn't want it, or take it out of his computer where he doesn't want, right? If he's a MacBook on it, the Vadis Chemer Ben Gershon. I remember there once being done, there's some people that went to the Kaisel, right? So sometimes the little tzatlach there, that are in the wall of the Kaisel, fall out. So people like to read them. When I was a Bochum once, I remember reading them. I found from one of the Choshever Rebbe's, a whole big kvittel over there. I showed it to other people. Somebody told me it was Chemer Ben Gershon. Now it's true, he put it there. He knows the person can open it. He doesn't want you to open it. What's that?
Did anybody find Donald Trump's?
I wouldn't be too interested if I did that, throw in the garbage, but some other people might be choshing, they can make money on it. It could be Trump's, you can make money on it also. But Lemaisa, it's what to think about. If the person is Mac, but it's a problem.
Does it apply to
Goyim? Does it apply? There's a day that says it applies to Goyim also.
Who says?
There's one of the days that I saw, I believe I saw it, I have a sefer called Shulchan Chai. I saw somebody says a problem, I look it up. Someone says a problem going on, like Moshe Gneves Das is shined by Goyim also, right? One of the ideas behind the Chemer Ben Gershom on reading letters, one of the reasons they bring down is because of the fact that it's Gneves Das. It could be either Gneves Das, it could be Gneva, it could be V'haftar Yachin Kamoicha. There's a whole bunch of reasons that are brought down why he might have made the Knas. Now again, we don't know why, because he didn't write down why. But these are things to consider. And there definitely is one day that says that it's also by Goyim. But I can't tell you right now. I'll give you an example. Moshe, we talk about not marrying two women. Why was he Goyim not to marry two women? So it seems that no one really knows, because he didn't say. So there's a book by Marcus Lehman, one of these storybooks. And usually when it comes to storybooks, it's like Mother Goose and like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You can't bring Rias to Divrei Torah from a storybook. But Marcus Lehman writes down that the reason why he made a Gzerah that he shouldn't marry two wives is because he had two wives and one of them made him a lot of trouble. It's a nice story, but it seems that the Chayim don't hold like that, because I found six Pirushim. What?
Isn't there a story in the Gemara with the white hairs and the black hairs?
It's a nice story. It's in Baba Kamed after the Tesla Bays. What's going to do with Gershon? That story is a story that didn't happen. It's a marshal, you're forgetting it. The Gemara over there says that one guy said, talk Alocha, and the other guy said, talk Agoda. So he said, this is a story of a guy that had an old wife and a young wife. The old wife is pulling out the black hairs. She wanted to be like him. The young wife is pulling out the white hairs. And then the poor guy was nebuch bald. Nobody was happy, right? So the Gemara is saying that that's what it's like when one person says this, one person says that. So if you'll say talk about Chaimer and Gershon, he's going to say talk about getting Shekhar and Purim, I'm going to have a problem, right? But that's not a mice that happened. It's a mushal that was brought down. I don't want to say it, but a lot of stories you read in these books are also mushal, which never happened. But lo mishaneh. That is a Gemara. That's a Gemara which is clearly a mushal. The mice, here we have the Chaimer ben Gershon. I found, I think, six reasons brought down the Rishonim as to why he was geyser not to have two wives. And the Mana Emes, I wrote down a very wild thing in my Sefer Shmir Segufa Nefesh over 30 years ago. I wrote down something which is wild. Usually when you want to write something wild, you start with saying Luli de Mistafina. If you know the expression? Like if I wasn't scared, I would say Azana Zapshat. So I said over there, no?
What's the whole, Chashivas about reading someone else's letter? Why is it and not anything regarding privacy?
What is privacy? What's the law of privacy?
So I'm just asking, what's the thing about a letter that makes it that?
Look, if you learn Chofetz Chaim, there's a musig of Bal Yoimer. Bal Yoimer means to say, if I know something about you, which is private, and you don't want people to know, I'm not a mefarsim. Right. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, it's not just if you told me, don't tell anybody this, right? Yeah. Even if you didn't say, but I know, my understanding is you would not want people to know about it.
Right.
You're not supposed to say anything. Agav, in one of the chairs, just reminding myself, that I saw in Shem Adam for Ben Gershon, he says you're not supposed to mevayish about tshuva. Now that's actually an open Gemara, but Metzid Daf Nuntes. The Gemara says you're not supposed to tell about tshuva. I remember when you used to drive car on Shabbos, right? Why? Because after all said, it hurts the person's feelings. Here, there might be something I know about you that once upon a time you robbed a bank, once upon a time you sat in jail, once upon a time, who knows what? All different things where I might be mevaza you. So it also could be Lashon Hara, or it's a Shamra, who knows what not? Yeah?
Sometimes nowadays, you know, I have a certain Baal Tshuvas will get up and just start saying their stories.
I would love to have the answer to that question. I've had this question for the last 30 years. I asked this once to Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg of Baltimore, who was in Eshet Torah when I was there. It's brought down that you're not supposed to be mefarsim berabim that you did chatoim. It's brought down Hilchos Yom Kippur. If you look at the Shaar Tzion, I think it's Tafrei Shvov, he brings down to Machlis Rambam and Rosh, is that only bein odem lemokim, also bein odem lechaver. The bottom line is it comes out, you're not supposed to be mefarsim berabim. Nothing, anything you did wrong, whether you stole, whether you were machal Shabbos, both bein odem lechaver and bein odem lechaver is mefarsim. That's the halacha maisa. However, it would seem to me, and I had a raya from Sefer Chassidim, which I don't remember right now, but I had a raya from Sefer Chassidim, that if you're doing this for te'elis, to get another person to come from, like in my Eshet Torah days, you have a guy that he's a very frum guy, he's a Magid Shnei Yeshiva, and his tongue is, I want you to know, you think it's so hard to stop being Machal Shabbos? I was also once Machal Shabbos. You do this and that, you play baseball, you think I didn't play baseball? Of course I play baseball. Baseball's not a big affair, but I'm just saying, if the guy's saying it not to advertise his chet, you're supposed to be embarrassed to do the chet, right? But he's doing it on the contrary to my spi on a person that he should be Chayze B'tshuva. I had a right to be Mutter, but I didn't find it in the Poiskim. I looked, and I couldn't get everybody to agree with me. And people said, it doesn't say that. It says, no chalamai, so you're not Sisma Farsam. But I have reason to believe that if you're doing it for te'elis, to make a person from, because you're not advertising what you did wrong, it seems to me Shem Mutter. Maybe I'll look again, I'm a little bit older, I'm a little wiser, maybe I'll find it now. But I remember then, I got stuck with this question, and I could not find the proper answer.
Right, so Rabbi Gershon is really just using this letter as, just as the, I don't know, what do you call it, the face. But it's not necessarily just by a letter, it's anything that a person has that's considered private.
It's L'chayrit is like that. L'chayrit is anything which a person considers private, and he doesn't want you to know it. And as I said, the Chofetz Chaim says, if you know a person doesn't want to be mefarsim something, you know how to say it. But it seems that by letters, people think, you can sometimes find a letter found on the floor. So you figure that guy threw it on the floor, or guy threw it in the garbage can, right? So that's what you're saying on the poiskim. Some say, since he threw it, there's not makbid. Some say, no. He threw it in the garbage can, but he didn't think you were a garbage picker, right? He threw it in the garbage and get rid of it. Agav, in the Kaisel today, you wouldn't believe what kind of stupidity these people write to put in the wall. It's amazing. There was a fried person going to write over there. You know, God, you know, help me rob the bank next week, whatever. There's a guy, I mean, many years ago, there's a certain guy who wrote a whole book. It's called Hamoyach. It's a book about a certain bank robber. But Mikra, I happen to know because he once beat me up on my gemach many years ago. So it was the same guy. And I became a little knowledge about this guy. And he wrote two volumes. The first one was a bestseller here in Israel, so he wrote a second volume. And he writes over there, every time he made a big neva, and he made some big nevas, including Bank of Poland here in King George, $1.5 million. which he did on Shabbos, of course, was Enes Rechal Lisser, and he dug under the ground, came to the bank, walked off with $1.5 million. They did catch him eventually, but then the money was gone. And he says how every time before he made a big neva, since he did have a certain firm background, he would first go to the kaisel and be mispalished after the shmai. Okay? So you can imagine what kind of thing people put on the wall. Don't think everything is, you know, shemus akdash or whatever. It's true that I think the first original place where it's brought down about putting papers in the wall, the Chazanish and some other gedolim held you shouldn't put your finger in the wall because it might be mokem migdash. And the briskers, some of them stand back dal amas because maybe the wall was rubbed down, all different chumis. But the fact of the matter is that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh sent the chidor with a certain kvittel, a little thing to put in the wall between the stones of the kaisel. There's a whole maisa which is brought down time in Hogam, and he told him, be careful, watch over it. You know the maisa?
No, there's no carpet putting stuff for putting notes
in
the wall.
There definitely is. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. A few hundred years ago, he was a big person, but Niglu Van Ister. He wrote Sifrei Alocha, Big Tayer. He also wrote the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He was big. And I have to tell you. And he sent a kvittel with none other than the chidor. And the chidor was in the middle of the street. Whoosh, came a ruch shen mitzuyah and it blew it out of his hand. And he felt terrible because he remembered this Rebbe Aruch Chaim HaKadosh said to watch over it and put it bein avnei hakoisel. And I said, people found afterwards that kvittel. And nobody asked any questions. Chaim Ben Gershon, not Chaim Gershon, was he makbi, was he not makbi? They found it, they saw the handwriting, who it was, they knew who it was. And he saw where they write there, chaisi tamosi, talking to the Shekhinah directly. Be more rapid than this person, they have it. I think it still exists even. I found the petek. So definitely, there is makar for putting things in the Avnei Kaisel. And by the way, Stipler, who usually is a big chassid of his brother or the Chazanish, the Farish argued on the Chazanish on this one. He held it's mutter to put your fingers between Avnei Kaisel. He disagreed with the Chazanish on this one.
What if not someone's walking the street to see a smartphone and they find it? Would it be correct to look through it for some later?
I don't know if what I say goes along with the rules of smartphones over here in this yeshiva. I know that they have rules and regulations. I have a psak that if you find a smartphone and wrong to a from person, you'll have to smash it. You can. Why? Why? There's a ran. There's a tshuva navnei nezer. If a mashgiach goes in a dormitory and he finds a dirty magazine under somebody's bed, he's got to rip it up. Fairish. Not just because he's the baal boss of the yeshiva. There's an avnei nezer that brings a rai from the ran. Gitten. If you find something, just like if you find somebody, a person has a gun, he's been mazik people, you don't have to wait till he kills someone and then say, oh, can I kill someone? You get rid of the gun right away. Here also, if somebody's mazik and ruchnius, you're allowed to destroy it on the spot. To be after Rabbi Kebecha, there's no din of mazik. It's a tshuva not the native. I can find it.
Maybe it has a filter.
Huh? If it's a kosher phone, I'm not talking about that.
Whatever the case is.
If it's a kosher, I mean a phone that you shouldn't have.
Whatever the case is, but you find it, I'll just give you a phone. Would it be good to look through the guy's stuff or forget?
But Adrabah, that would be a warning for some of these firmer kanoim. They shouldn't just rip the phone. Find out first. Maybe there's a filter. Maybe it's not so kosher.
Of course, can just take it out of his hand and break it.
He might fight back.
But it wouldn't be like a neighbor.
That's correct. But you have to use seichel on these things. You know, sometimes you want to be a kanoi, but you make such a chil Hashem that's just not kedai.
If nobody's around, I'm saying if you find one of these phones, you try to find it, you take it, you like chocolate.
If you knew for sure, if I was in a yeshiva and there's other type of guys that are not so great in Yiddishkeit, I would think twice about doing that before you do it. Example, you're in a yeshiva that's Bali Chuvi, yeshiva guys are more modern. You're going to smash his phone, you might smash his Yiddishkeit also. So I would first consult with the yeshiva and the mashgiach and find out, should this be done? Maybe someone should talk to him. Sometimes you do something very violent, you know, you're like a bull in a China store, you know, you think you accomplished something, you did. You have to think twice before you do these things. But technically, you're allowed to take away some which is mazik ruch this also.
We get back to the question, if you find the phone, should you look through it to try to accomplish it as a leader, or should you not?
If you can do something by finding out his number, fine. But it doesn't mean to say I should read all his messages. I'm sure there's ways of looking at phone names and not seeing what he has information. Now, listen to this. What are the reasons, we don't have too much time left, what are the reasons why he said not to marry several women, and this two women, and this actually brought down a Shulchan Aruch. So one reason the Raja brings down is because if a person had more than one wife, so he would torture one wife, love one wife, hate the other wife, he would make her all different trouble. That's what the Raja learns. This is a person always has one wife, he should respect her, treat her with respect, buy her clothes she needs. That's one reason. The Mordechai brings down because if you have two wives, you always have machlekes. There's another reason brought down by the Rishonim, because it costs a lot of money to be mefarnes your wife, jewelry, right? You don't have to give too much money today. In the good old days, you have to give her every week a lot of money. They don't have anything. There's a little plastic card called a credit card, and you don't have to give her anything. She has whatever she needs, and she's fine. But if you have two wives, you might be in trouble. One with the Visa and one with the American Express, and by the time the end of the month, you have no money. So it's because of expenses that he said. Another one is because of the fact that there, whenever you have two wives, so each one is jealous of the other one, and each one is going to make, that's what's called the more, it's called tzoris, right? Because they make a lot of tzoris, right? So you have to be choshish. One of them is going to put milk into the other one's chunt, the other one's going to put meat into the other one's coffee and milk. They're going to make all different churban poshet to mess up the other wife. And the Yavit says poshet because since by the goyim, there's what's called in English bigamy, you can't marry two wives. So therefore, he wanted to make sure that they're not doing something which is also by the goyim. Kitzer, no one knows exactly why, except for Marcus Lehman has a storybook, and he says because his two wives made him a lot of trouble, one of them snitched, but we don't know if that's true. The Poskim obviously didn't hold like that. I wrote in Shmir Seguf and Nefesh something wild, and I thought that since I write down Lulu de Mistafina, and before I started, that, you know, it's like a disclaimer, so I can always say afterwards I didn't mean it seriously. I wrote down, you're not supposed to walk between two women. We discussed this a few weeks ago, right? That's more in Hurry's Nafim Gimel. It says you forget your learning. Now, I asked many years ago, I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, does that halacha apply just by two strange women? Or even your wife and your daughter? Or your daughter and your grandmother? Or your sister and whatever? Because my understanding was, we do not know why it's aser. There's one day from an unknown sefer, Rabbi Yedaya HaPnini. It was the time of the Rishonim, but no, he was never known as a Rishon. Very controversial fellow. He brings down the reason you can't walk between two women is because of hirhur, that you think about the woman. Now, if you learn this because of hirhur, you can say it's not again my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter, then you're fine. But no one else has a reason. All the Rishonim say, it's like something which Chazal understood, we don't understand. If I don't know the reason, why should it be any different walking between my wife and my daughter? This is also something which people hear, they go out of their minds, but I asked Chaim Kanievsky, he says this is a printed shuv in the Chazon Ish. And he sent me to a certain sefer by Rabbi Osher Dushnitzer, from the Talmid Chazon Ish, that he himself asked the Chazon Ish this question, is there the idea of walking between two women, is it between my two daughters, my wife, Miss? He said, yeah, exact same thing. Since we don't know the reason, it's Mamash Asa. So I saw that, it fell into my head, oh, that's a good reason not to marry two wives. Can you imagine a little Israeli deer in the kitchen, one wife is on this side, one, Mamash Lo Yimot, you're not going to walk between your two wives. You tell the two wives to stand in the same position all the time. Yeah, I want to see that happen. Tie them on a string. If there were Siamese twins, that might work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can't control two people. Again, when I wrote this down, a lot of people thought it was a very wild idea. And people, what a stupid thing to say. The reason is because there's two wives, one of them snitch. I don't know. It might be like a wild thing to say. That's all right, the Lima Stefina. But I said, I found 7 days in the Poskim, and no one said that reason. So obviously, that wasn't the reason. So I don't know the reason. Again, I'm not taking a chayis on that reason. It is interesting. But I thought when I put that in there, that would be madgish and emphasize that halacha, which no one thinks like that. You ask a lot of people, Talmid Chacham, did you ever think you're not walking to your wife and your daughter? No one thinks. This is a Pesach L'Chazanish. I never saw anybody saying otherwise. Everybody assumes otherwise, but I never saw that. I'll call upon them. The Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, these are things that are very tough, and we have to end. And a person, maybe if they're interested, not next time, the time after, maybe we'll talk about different pratim, opening letters, or marrying two wives. There are different halachas that are brought down. What's interesting is the people you think of a chayrim like it's a terrible thing. Meh, well, where do I come to a chayrim like it's not a gay me? So it's an interesting idea. There's a din, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Nuches, Nor Chaim. You're supposed to say Krishma Bizman. When is this man? We have two Zman, and we have the Mogan of Rom's man, the Goyin's man. I think the later Zman right now, the Goyin's man, I think this past Shabbos was something like 954, right? There's a lot of people. How much? 854, I'm sorry, 854. Okay? There's a lot of people that are Mazalzon's man Krishma, needless to say. In America, if you don't go to Yeshiva or Yeshiva Sheminyan, you can't find a Minyan Shabbos that's going to down before 9 o'clock. It's like a guaranteed recipe had a Mizman Krishma. Now, it's true that they'll tell you, maybe they'll assume, you're going to say first Krishma beforehand. But first of all, you know and I know that most people don't know these halachas, and if they're going to daven at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they're not going to say Krishma before. They don't know they have to. If the rabbi said I can daven now, then why can't I daven now? The rabbi must know what he's talking about. And even those people that do say Krishma beforehand, they took care of the big problem, but like it's brought down on the Aruch HaShulchan, what you basically did was, Chazal Masakim to say Krishma with Birchei Seo, what you did was Krishma that brachas, and the brachas that Krishma, because you did the brachas, or if there's man Krishma. So that's if anything, it's a b'dievet, it's a b'dievet. Saying Krishma achar as man, the Mishnah says in Chagiga Daf Tes has a din of ma'uvas lo yuchal liskay. You can't fix it. The amazing, the chumra of the inyan is shocking. It says there are three things that can't be repaired. Three sins. Everything else you sin, you can do tshuva. What are three things you can't repair? If a person was mezana with one of the arayas and he had a kid of mamzer, you can't erase that. The mamzer's there. You can do tshuva, you can fast 100 times, burn your fingers, go out in the snow, do all the different sigufa, but you still have a mamzer, right? You can't fix that. And another one is someone's pirish minatera, becomes a shegetz. And the third one is someone misses man krishma. The Gemara compares it to the guy who's mezana with an erev and had a mamzer. The word is that. And people just do it like I do it every week. Everybody's show comes late, 9 o'clock, well, why not, you know? People just miss Krishna. The Gemara compares it to the guy who was mezana with an erev had a mamzer. That's what the mission says. So I found also the Zohar in Parshas Bullock says that if a person misses Zman Krishma, he's Manuda L'Shamayim. That's the Lashon. Zohar Kodesh. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Holy Zohar. The Zohar says that if a person misses Zman Krishma, he's Manuda L'Shamayim. That means he's Nidui and Cheirim L'Shamayim. Nidim is Cheirim. Lashon Gemar, Nidim is Cheirim. Excommunication in English. That's my English. Cheirim L'Shamayim is all of his tefillahs are not accepted. The Barshan doesn't recognize you. That's a Mordi Gazach, and people don't even think about it.
What's that? If I miss,
why would you dab him?
I miss my Krishna.
Well, maybe you should be careful not to. Don't look it the other way around. Like, it's like someone says, Chavetz Chaim writes as Agdama. Why should I learn Hilchas Lashon Hara? I won't be able to talk. Maybe you're working yourself, do the proper thing. If a person knows before him, so again, if a person has to try to do tshuva. I'm not saying you can't do tshuva. But in the meantime, you should know how chomer it is. Chayim Shemaim is probably until you did a tshuva that's proper. But who knows what that tshuva is?
But you can't.
So the guy doesn't even know.
Don't know what said you can't. You can always do tshuva. Only you can always do tshuva. Acher said you can't do tshuva. And look what happened to him, right? He was a Tana, Elisha ben Avuya.
Over
there.
So the Torah says that these are three things I can't what?
You can't retract it. It was done. Moshe, if I daven late, the Mishmar Esrei. I woke up late, the Mishmar Esrei. I can do Tashlum, I can do Mincha. Right? If I stole, I can return it. Doesn't mean I can get punished for stealing. But there's a tikkun. Christian, once you missed it, you blew it. Now, does it mean you're going to be in Cherem forever? Didn't say that. But right now you're in Cherem. How long? It doesn't say. But somewhere the Gazak. A person just misses Man Krishma, he's in Cherem Hashemayim. And this is not that one of the Rishayim decided to make a Cherem Tzibur. This is Min Hashemayim. The Baruch Hashem gives you Aloha, you have to have Krishna by a certain time. You daven, you said Krishna after that time, you're in Cherem.
So,
what to think about?
So Shiva Shalimba applies for everything except for these three things.
It's not that you shouldn't do tshuva. You should, but it's not going to undo. Can you undo a mamzer? In the ground, what are you going to do?
If I kill somebody.